But Galatians chapter 5, we're going to be there for a little bit. But before I get into that, last week we continued this study on living out loud. And we talked about being the salt of the earth. And I talked about the Beatitudes. Well, I said we would get back to those later. So this is later. It's just I didn't get back to those last week because we were going a different direction last week. But the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, we were there last week. And I just want to go back to them just for a moment. And Blake, I think it was last Sunday night, pointed out that some of these are completely unattainable. And that is true. They are unattainable without the Spirit of God at work in your life, because there's nothing we can do on our own to... It's not the same wording you used, but it's the same path of where we're going with that, because the reality is that we get these things that are in the Beatitudes because the Spirit of God guides us in that mindset of meekness, the mindset of poor in spirit. Those things, if we are there, we are gaining the grace and the mercy that God is giving when we are dealing with those circumstances. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody goes through all, however, what, 12 of them, I think, 10 or 12. But it also doesn't mean that we need to sit back and say, well, that's not for me. That's not a word for me. Because at some point in life, we may go through every single aspect of those Beatitudes. And where I wanted to go with that, as we go into this week, this is the thing that I was trying to say last week with it, but I didn't quite get there. And that is, these are the attitudes that Christ displayed. If we look at the things that he did on earth, at some point in his ministry, he displayed each one of these. And you can see that in action. And if you don't believe it, just look through the rest of the ministry that he shared. And as he goes through it, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know, there's times when we're depressed, when we're down and out, when we're poor in spirit. But, you know, there's a promise. And each one of the Beatitudes, as we live our life, it becomes evident that those lead us to a freedom that we need to understand. And that's where we start this week. And that's why I put it off until this week to open up with that. Because where we're at with that is that there's freedom. Now, as we look at this and we talk about some different things about freedom, Galatians 5:1 is a verse that everybody throws around the 4th of July, around Memorial Day, always tied in with some of these things that we celebrate. And Galatians 5:1 just simply says, stand fast, therefore, in liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. You talked about a lot of things this morning in Sunday school that are going to lead right in to where we're at this morning. But what I want you to think about for a moment, and I asked this question Friday night, I want to ask it again today. This and the top 10 list are about as far as we're going to go with that message that I spoke Friday night. So if you want to go and follow or go and look at it on Facebook, if you have a Facebook, if not, let me know. I'll see what I can do about getting you a copy of it. But if you just really want to hear it. But are you comfortable this morning? That's the question that I put in the bulletin today, thinking about as we look at this and as we live out loud, the problem that we face today as a church. We have become comfortable. We've become very comfortable. We have become so comfortable that we have forgotten that uncomfortable is actually how we're called to live life. And that's kind of the message that I shared Friday night, but it was a different direction, like I said. And as we go into it this morning, here's where we are. There was an article I came across that gave a top 10 list of ways to tell that you are too comfortable within the church. That being said, I'm going to read those top 10, and then I'm not necessarily going to get into the same message that we did the other night, but you know, some things will be similar. But as we look at this, 10 signs to show that your Christianity has become too comfortable. And if you want to keep score, I'm not going to ask for a tally. I just, you know, and just think about these things in your life, because each one of us has these present. Number one, you do not attend church with a high level of expectancy. In fact, the only thing you expect with any certainty is that the preacher will shut up eventually and the final song will be sung and you'll go home. That's number one. Hear that kind of hits a couple of people, doesn't it? I'm not going to say any names, but we do have it with Phillip Standard Time. It's already been brought up once this morning. No. Second, you no longer seem to be concerned about the spiritual condition of neighbors, family members, or your colleagues. Third, you haven't had a spiritual conversation with a non-Christian in a long time. In fact, some of your friends don't even know that you go to church. Number four, the Bible seems like a history book. It's lifeless to you. This sounds like a lot of people in the world today. You treat God's word as something you can pick out easy bits from, nice bits about God's love and forgiveness, and ignore everything about sin, justice, holy living, and obedience to God's will and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Number five, your happiness is at a Sunday service is more important than what it takes to reach the unchurched and the unsaved. As long as you get your parking spot, as long as you sit in your seat, you hear the music you like, everything will be fine. Right? Number six, the plight of the poor doesn't concern you. Number seven, pictures of people suffering do not move you to action. The needs of others don't even register anymore. Number eight, you do not give to God the financial resources he has blessed you with, or from the financial resources he has blessed with. Instead of regular giving to support God's work, he gets the spare change from your pocket or the leftovers after you've done all the things that you want to do. Now, some of these things might hurt a little bit to hear. I'm just going to be honest with you, because they hurt me when I started reading them. I was like, this is too much sometimes. Sometimes we don't want to think about these things. Number nine, your prayers don't seem to be making it past the ceiling. You just transmit and don't even listen for God's answer. Number 10, it doesn't even dawn on you that God could do something incredible or amazing or something radical in your life at any moment today. The miraculous is not on your radar. And if you're honest, you don't want it to be. You know, as we continued that statement, the Holy Spirit were to move in this building today, if it were to shake the walls, if it were to happen like it did at Pentecost, would you even be aware? Or would you start looking for another reason for that to have happened? See, those are the top 10 things. Those are the 10 things that we can look at. And as we think about it and we become comfortable in our lives, something hit me this morning, even as I was thinking about it and thinking about comfort. And I want to just look at this real quickly before I get into Galatians. I want to just say this. If we look throughout Scripture, and I'm going to get back to this as we go along, but as we look throughout Scripture, I'm going to be honest with you. God used the uncomfortable situations. He didn't ask us to be comfortable. He didn't ask us to find comfort. He didn't ask us to pad the pews, so to speak. What he asked us to do was step out of that comfort zone to be something more. And I got thinking about that in the American church today. And the American church, the message that is preached constantly. If you turn on a TV church service and you sit there and watch it for long enough, you're going to hear the words that lead you to believe that everything's comfort based. We need to be comfortable in the situation we're in. We need to be comfortable in the church. We need to be comfortable. Jesus was not comfortable on this earth. To be honest, he walked everywhere. He didn't have his own home. For 3 years he was in ministry and he was running from the Pharisees. Well, not really running. He was just fulfilling a ministry. They were just chasing after him. Every time he turned around, there was something more that he was doing that was making things more and more uncomfortable. But for him, comfortable was the uncomfortable. So as we look at this today and as we start to think about this, how do we live out loud? We live uncomfortably. That is a difficult topic to breach, especially in a church today. And here's why I say that. Matthew 11:28, you referenced to the heavy burden and the yoke and everything else. And you referenced to that this morning in Sunday school. And the reality is those heavy loads are the uncomfortable loads that we are asked to bear. But the problem that we find in life today is that we try to bear them alone. But that is not the whole verse. It doesn't say, come unto me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He continues and says what? Take my yoke upon you. Meaning, I'm in it with you. I'm walking with you. I'm carrying the load also. And so as we look at this today, Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 1, I read that one, you know, Paul then goes on to say in verse 2, indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debt or to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but in faith working through love. Paul is telling us exactly what is happening right here. Paul is telling us a little bit more. Blake did a wonderful job in Romans of going through some, basically a similar conversation in, was it chapter 4 or 3? I believe the beginning of 3 or 4. But talking about circumcision, I didn't actually write that reference down. That's my fault. But as we look at that and we start to see this, circumcision is not the issue that Paul is addressing here. Yes, circumcision was what basically told a Jew from a Gentile. If you were circumcised, that was the thing. The circumcision that was started as a covenant between Abraham and God. It was a covenant that God had made with Abraham. And as you look at that, Paul is basically just calling him out here. He's saying, look, circumcision means nothing if you don't have Christ. You can talk about being circumcised. Well, I'm circumcised, so therefore I'm the chosen of God. Great. Wonderful. Do you have a relationship with him? That is what Paul is saying here to the Galatians. He's saying, your circumcision, what is it? Verse 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. But what? Faith through love. So this is where we're going today. This is where we get uncomfortable. This is what I'm talking about this morning, is the comfort level. And if you don't believe me, let's look through the history of the church. Let's look through the history of the world even. The only two that I can think of that were given comfort was Adam and Eve. And they ruined it. I mean, let's be honest. They obviously weren't content being comfortable. They had the Garden of Eden. They had everything going for them except for one tree that they couldn't eat from. And that was apparently where we started. But if you look at the history of the world, who is mentioned in the scripture? Noah. What? He was made to be uncomfortable. Why was he made to be uncomfortable? Well, for 120 years, he was building a boat when it hadn't rained. For what? Well, there's a flood coming. How uncomfortable could that have been? Or how comfortable could that have been to be building a boat, be thought you're crazy, and everybody coming by going, look at the kook over here, Noah, building an ark. Well, I mean, really? Or you've got Abraham. I mean, Abraham was asked to get up, leave his family, leave everything he knew, and go to a new land. And not only that, he was asked to change his name. It went from Abram to Abraham. And as he went through this process, well, then you're being told that in your old age, you're going to have a kid. All of these things, uncomfortable situations. In fact, it got real uncomfortable for him a few times. Well, we can continue on. Moses, you know, Moses was called to lead them out of captivity. Well, let's look at the life Moses had. Moses was saved from being killed as a child. Moses was living as an Egyptian prince. Moses was in the palace. He could have chosen to stay right there. Well, actually, he couldn't. God wasn't going to allow that. But Moses was put in an uncomfortable situation, forced to leave the comforts of everything he had known to save a people he never knew, only his slaves. And then he comes back to them. I mean, he knew eventually, and he got in there, and he did what God asked him to do. Comfort versus uncomfort or discomfort. As we look at this and as we think about this, I mean, I could go on. Paul spent more of his life in prison after becoming a Christian than he ever thought he would. I mean, as a Pharisee, the last place you're going to be is a prison. You're the one in charge. You're the one bringing people to prison. Why would you be the one in prison? Or the apostles at all? I mean, they all died or were attempted to be killed because of their faith. It's an uncomfortable place to be. But in America, in this country, in the church today that we sit in every Sunday, what have we become more about? Comfort. We sit on a comfortable pew. We don't have to worry about somebody walking in the door. I mean, until recently, we never heard of churches, even anybody walking into a church with a gun, coming in and taking care of business because they didn't agree with the message that was being shared inside. Now, that's something that we've started to hear about, but is it something that you have to be fearful of every Sunday? Is it something that you have to be fearful of every time we unlock that door? Is it something that we have to really worry about here? No. Comfort is how we've become uncomfortable as Christians. Because what makes us uncomfortable? Well, it's somebody wants us to take a stand on an issue. Well, we can't do that. That might make us uncomfortable. And we get uncomfortable thinking about the issues that we should be thinking about. We get uncomfortable taking stands on issues that we shouldn't be uncomfortable taking a stand on. But if we're not uncomfortable, then the problem is we're not living a life that God has called us to live. If we continue on to verse 13, it says this: "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another, for all law has been fulfilled in one word, even this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." Galatians 5, 13 through 16 has a message for us today that is strong, it is powerful, and it is bigger than anything that we could ever imagine. In fact, the message for us this morning is simply this: become uncomfortable. Become uncomfortable. The apostles were uncomfortable. If you look through Acts, if you want to know exactly how the church was formed, look at Acts. Look at what the apostles went through. Look at the fact that they tried to become comfortable where they were, and what happened? They were scattered. Because there was a message they had to share. If you want to tell me that God wants comfort for you today, if you want to tell me that God wants us to be comfortable in our faith, if you want to tell me that God wants us to sit in the pews and just do nothing, I'm going to point you to the book of Acts and I'm going to say, no, that is not what it says. Because that is where they got up and they went out because they had to. They didn't want to. They tried to stay put and they got moved by outside forces. Because the message was meant to be shared. They were meant to be uncomfortable. They were meant, just like us, to be uncomfortable, to face things that made us uncomfortable to the point that we speak out about what makes us uncomfortable and why it makes us uncomfortable. And no, it's not just because I don't like it. It's because God's word is against it. People make us uncomfortable in this country today, and it is becoming more and more uncomfortable. How can I point those things out? Well, let's just call it what it is. Homosexuality. What is the word that they use to talk about them? What's the word? Anybody knows it, I'm sure. It's all over the place. Pride. Well, what's pride? Well, let's just be honest. The Bible tells us not to be proud, right? It tells us that no one should boast except in the Lord. Well, they're boasting in a lifestyle that is far from the Lord. But yet, here's the problem. They've become comfortable in that lifestyle. I mean, does that mean that we don't love them? No. And that's where we're going with this today. And this is where it gets really uncomfortable. Loving them doesn't mean that we approve what they do. Loving them means that we show them the truth through God's word. We hear the talk a lot more lately about going without borders. In fact, there are Christian songs that are written, "Take me where," or "without border." I can't even remember the words of the song. I should have wrote them down. But here's the thing. While I agree that God's love has no borders, I also agree that God's grace and mercy does. Because there is a line that God's grace cannot cross. And that is an unrepentant heart. If you are unrepentant, his grace will not touch you. You cannot be saved if you are not in a relationship and a repentant relationship with God. And if you don't understand that today, then I'm sorry. If this makes you uncomfortable for all the wrong reasons, then I'm sorry, but I've got to be honest. I've got to rightly divide the word. I can't just stand up here and tell you, well, just because you want to live that lifestyle doesn't mean that you're not going to heaven. No, it does exactly mean just that. It means that you're living a sinful lifestyle. Now, can I be the one that condemns you to hell? No. Can I be the one that judges someone based on a lifestyle they have? Absolutely not. But what I can be is someone who stands here and reads God's word and hopefully rightly divides it. Blake does the same thing. Hopefully he can rightly divide it. And that's where the Spirit of God comes in. But when we get into these moments, I'm going to tell you, sometimes getting up here and preaching a message is the most uncomfortable position to be in that I have ever faced in life. Blake will tell you that. Joel will tell you that. Lamar, Charlie, any of us who have ever shared words of God with anyone will tell you that this is a very uncomfortable spot to be. Because number one, they're taking your word for something that's in God's word. Hopefully they're going and studying it on their own. But sometimes it gets so uncomfortable that we realize that that's exactly where the message should start. Sometimes the words that we're asked to say are the most uncomfortable words, the most uncomfortable situations that we can ever find ourselves in. But there's a difference in this comfort and this freedom that Paul talks about in Galatians 5. There's a difference that's there. I talked about the without borders thing and God's love without borders. You know, I do want to go where there are no borders. And that is in God's love, where I can love someone regardless of the lifestyle that they live, regardless of whether I agree with them or disagree with them. I can show them the love of God. How do I show the love of God? I live it out. I live it out loud. I show them the love of God by showing them the grace and mercy and forgiveness that God showed. Does that mean that I tell them, oh, your lifestyle is okay, you can do this, you can do that? No. It means that I show them in God's word and I make it clear that Christ has set us free and there is nothing you can do that is apart from that. If Christ sets you free, you are truly free. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about that. I cannot deny God's word. What I can deny is a lifestyle that is contradictory to God's word. Romans chapter 1 speaks dead on about homosexual lifestyle. Does that mean that I don't love the homosexual? No. Does that mean I condemn them to death? No, that's between them and the Lord. Because the scripture tells us how many times that it's not anyone that condemns anyone else. It's you that are condemned already because you do not believe. You condemn yourself. We will blame anything and everything that we will come across in this world. Anything and everyone, everything, whatever we can blame. But the thing that Christians do, American Christians, or anybody really, if we just think about it in life in general, the thing that we as human beings tend to do more than anything else in this world is blame anything and everything for the responsibility that lies only on our shoulders. There's a reason why the Bible tells us that you are condemned in your actions. There's a reason that the Bible tells us that we cast judgment on ourselves. There's a reason that the Bible tells us that we are the sinner. There's a reason that Christ told us that he came to die for us. There's a reason that this life is lived the way it is. When we allow the Spirit of God to take hold in our hearts, when we come to a point where God becomes the choice we make. Now, let me explain something to you. I think we might have talked about this a little bit, but what I've really figured out in the last couple of weeks is simply this. Freedom is not free. And no, that's not the cliche statement that you hear on Memorial Day. That's not the cliche statement that people throw around on July the 4th. What it is it's an actual truth. When I think about it, and I've thought about this over the last 2 or 3 weeks, and I've realized that you're either a slave to one thing or another. You're a slave to God and a servant of Christ, and you do what he has called you to do. And I'll get into another part of that here in just a moment. But you're a slave to self or sin. One or the other. You cannot be a slave of two masters. So it's one or the other. That's what the Bible tells us, and that's where we are. If you are a slave to yourself, if you are a slave to the sin, you have chosen a road. If you have ignored the call of God on your life and taken yourself down a road that leads to death, destruction. We call that freedom. Freedom to choose our own path. Freedom to do what we want to do. Freedom to take ourselves and have the best time of our life. I don't have to go to church. Me and God got this figured out. I'm just going to go live the life I want to live. See, that's where we've talked about the last couple of weeks. Well, the reality of it is, that's not freedom at all. In fact, that is just putting yourself even deeper into enslavement to the sin and destruction that is going to lead you to hell. But then there's being a slave to God or a slave to Christ. But here's the kicker on that. We're not really slaves. We talk about being a servant of one master or the other, but Jesus himself told us that we aren't slaves. What did he say in John chapter 15? He said, a servant doesn't know what a master is doing, but I call you friends because I have told you what I am doing. When we become a servant of Christ and we are guided by the Holy Spirit and we walk down the straight and narrow, we walk down the path that is set before us, we want to be a slave. We want to be wrapped up in all of that. But as he walks beside us while we carry the same yoke, he's looking at us going, you're my friend. You're not a servant. I've told you the path that is set for you. I've told you everything that's going to happen in your life. And it goes from this point forward. Now, you may not see it before that moment happens because I may choose not to reveal it to you until that moment happens. But there's a path we're walking on together because I wouldn't ask you to do this alone. See, that's where that story you told about Wells Fargo this morning comes in. Because the leadership did not want to do the things they were asking the employees to do. But God is sitting there and Christ's walking with us. He's telling us to take up the yoke with him. But he didn't just leave it on our shoulders. He didn't just leave the yoke there for us to carry. He said, I'm here with you. I'm going to the same place you are. And we're going to do this together because that road is set before you. And I know where the obstacles are. So come unto me, you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Because the workload is not near as much as it could have been. So as we look at this and as we come for this today, I want to talk about Peter for just a moment. Peter is an interesting character that we see in Scripture. Talking about being uncomfortable. How many times was Peter uncomfortable? Well, let's just start with the boat incident. Peter hopped out of the boat. All right, that's great. His faith was great enough for him to step out on the water, to do something that man was not intended to do because the Savior called. You know, one of the pastors the other night pointed out, though, that in that story, the thing that Peter, it wasn't that Peter was necessarily called by name. It was the invitation was there to come for any that wanted to. Now, yes, Peter had called and said, tell me to come. And he said, come. Any of those apostles, if they had had the faith, could have stepped across the edge of that boat and walked across the water. But Peter put faith into action. Peter made it an active thing. Are we making faith active today? It might mean we sink. It might mean we fall. It might mean that things don't go our way exactly. But who was there to pull him out of the water? Who was there to at least give him the recognition that he had tried? Peter's faith was enough to step out of the boat. But that's where things got uncomfortable. Because the moment he got on the water, what did he do? He started looking around going, I shouldn't be here. How many times in our life have we felt God leading us to do something, took one step out on faith, and then stopped? And started looking around going, this is unfamiliar territory. This isn't where I'm supposed to be. How many steps did you take when you were overseas that you were very unfamiliar with the area you were? And you had to rely on that faith to get you through. Folks, you may be called to go somewhere. Think about what Jesus told Peter. He said, one day you're going to be stretched out. You're going to be bound. You're going to be taken somewhere that you don't want to be. And it's going to be in my name. He told him to tell him how he was going to die. That's the thing. God wants us uncomfortable for his sake. Because when we're uncomfortable is when we have the best story to tell. It's when he gives us the most recognition of his grace and not our desire. Do you want to see him at work in your life today? If you want to see him at work, then you need to take that step out like Peter did. You need to take that step out and become uncomfortable in your Christianity, because that is the worst place to be. Sitting there in a level of comfort, thinking, I've got all this figured out. Everything's going to be all honky-dory. Everything's good. I'm going to have everything I need. And then when it's all said and done, just like Peter. See, Peter stepped out of the boat. But let me tell you about another situation that Peter was told. What happened when the sheet came down? Peter, being a Jew, saw things in that sheet that were uncomfortable for him to eat. Uncomfortable for him to take part in. And God said what to him? Eat. Stop worrying about all these laws, all these regulations, all these things that you have put on yourself. Because the reality of everything is that we are the ones that tie our hands. We are the ones that keep freedom from happening in our lives. We are the ones that keep ourselves in this little box along with our God or our Jesus. Folks, he's the same God. He's the same Jesus. It's the same scripture. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's not a personal thing sometimes. Sometimes it's the same scripture that speaks to me and Blake. But that doesn't mean that it's my scripture or his scripture. It means that it's all of ours. Because God has shared his word. It is his word. He is our God. And Christ is our Savior. Now, if you want to get real technical about it at this point, here's where we wrap things up. And here's where we think about love, and we think about a love without borders, and we think about a life that is well lived. And we start to think about what that means for us today. And I'm going to put all this away to tell you this, because here's the reality of it. There's not a book or a paper or a message that I can share that is going to tell you anything about the God that you need to know, that you probably don't already know. Many of us have grown up in church. We've heard these messages, but we've become comfortable sitting in these pews. We have become comfortable inside these walls. This is our safe space, and it shouldn't be all the time. Sometimes the safe space is the worst place for us to be. Sometimes the safest place is the difficult place for us to get the message out, because everybody sees how happy-go-lucky we are. Everybody sees that we've got all of these things. Well, what happened to Job when the devil thought, well, you've given Job everything? Of course, he's not going to feel that way about you. Job was made uncomfortable, wasn't he? But the one who was probably made the most uncomfortable throughout history, if we really want to get down to the bare bones of it, it's a man that lived 33 years on this earth. It's a man who was also the Son of God. It's a man who came from the comforts of heaven. A man who gave everything in death on a cross. A sinless man who became sin for you and I. And he's the same one that said, pick up the yoke and walk with me. He's the same one who said, follow me, to the disciples. He's the same one who we see in and out of Scripture from front to back. What is it? From end to amen? Is that how you say it? And that is the same God we serve today that sent him. It's the same message. The message has never changed. The message will never change. There is nothing we can do today that is going to change who God is. That is going to change who Christ is. Because he is the same. It is us who has changed. It is us who have stopped paying attention to God's precepts. Who have stopped paying attention to what he wants us to do. It is us who have rejected that call in our lives. All because it made us feel a little uncomfortable. Well, today I want to challenge you. Become uncomfortable. Comfortable. Because if you're comfortable in your faith, then you're not living it out. You're not living out loud. If you're worried about what your neighbor thinks, so you're just keeping quiet and keeping to yourself. If you're worried about somebody, what somebody's going to say about God's word to you, and you're afraid to share it because of that, then you've become too comfortable in faith. In fact, that's really no faith at all. We have to have faith in Him today to be what He's called us to be. Faith that He's going to lead us down the path He has set before us. Faith that He's going to deliver us through what He said He would deliver us through. And when we reach the end of it, when we get where we think nothing else can happen, there's nothing more we can do, guess what? That's where we get uncomfortable and God says, just a little bit farther. You're almost there. And then when you become uncomfortable for Him and you share the gospel for Him and you live out the life that He's called you to live, comfort doesn't need to come. In fact, we find our comfort in the uncomfortable, in the moment when God's Spirit, when Christ's Spirit works in us and shows us His glory.